You know, all of our life we've just heard that if you just have faith, you know, that everything will happen like it's supposed to. Well, having faith is the basis from which we operate. Having faith is what we have to have in our heart in order to actually take the next step. Because you see, the next step that we've got to take is really authority. We got to become responsible. We've got to use our authority as believers to speak things into existence. I want to tell you something. I believe in speaking things into existence. I believe that God has given man authority, just like the Bible says. And I believe that we've got these antiquated concepts of who God is, you know, what God lets happen. And we learned last week that if God lets something bad happen to you and he could do anything about it, then he's just as guilty as the devil if the devil's the one that does it. You say, well, what do you mean? God can do anything. No. Once God established man's authority over his own life and over planet Earth, then God has to honor that, and God has to let us make our own choices. We decide what happens in our life. God made the provision through the Lord Jesus, but we are the one that decides if we will access that provision or not. Jesus is the door. Our faith is what causes us to take godly action. But I'm going to tell you something. When there is not true faith, not a true trust for what Jesus has accomplished. Well, what has he accomplished? Well, he has, in simplest terms, he has delivered us from all the curses of the law, and he has given to us all the promises, and all of the inheritance of the kingdom is ours right now. But we're not automatically living that, because if we trust that, then we use our authority as believers to bring that about. You know, it's amazing. Somebody sent me a book the other day. I'm sure they were trying to be nice about the authority of the believer, and said, do you believe in the authority of the believer? Brenda and I opened this up and we're going, are you kidding me? This is one of the cornerstones of everything that I've taught for the last 30 or 40 years is the authority of the believer, because this is one of the cornerstone doctrines. You see, there is this reality called sowing and reaping. And sowing and reaping goes hand in hand with authority and responsibility. And authority and responsibility is what really we have to exercise in order for us to open the door and access what God has given to us. Now, there are those who would say that since God has given everything, it is automatically ours, and that if you put forth any effort of any kind to access it, that you're getting into legalism and you're getting dead works. Let me tell you something. It's never dead works when you exercise faith. It's never dead works when you exercise authority. It's never dead works when you apply in faith the things that God tells you to apply, or do the things that God tells you to do. It's only dead works whenever you're trying to earn something from God that he has already freely given you in Jesus. Listen, I want you to realize something. We've got these beliefs. They didn't come out of the Bible. They didn't even come out of the early church. They were ultimately incorporated into the church. And today we're going to talk about sowing and reaping. And I want you to understand, sowing and reaping can work for you. Sowing and reaping can work against you. But in this series, you know, we're talking about why bad things happen to good people. Well, I'll tell you, one of the number one reasons bad things happen to good people is because good people do not exercise the authority they have in Jesus. Because good people do not sometimes take responsibility for their lives and manage their life based on the finished work of Jesus. You know, here's a question you have to ask yourself. Does God make every decision about everything that happens in planet Earth? You know, there are people that would say, yes, everything that happens, God makes a decision. I want to tell you something. No, no, no. You see, that's a doctrine called sovereignty. Now, this God is sovereign. We know that God is sovereign. And to be sovereign means that you can act independently outside influence. You can act out of your own choosing, out of whatever you want. But in God's sovereignty, God established laws that work in planet Earth. God established the laws that work in heaven. God established, you know, the natural laws, the laws of physics. And these laws work without him having to make choices. gravity, when you jump off, the top of your house, you're going to hit the dirt, and God's not going to be making a decision about whether or not it happens. You see, once laws are established through His sovereignty, He establishes them the way that they can work for us. Now, keep in mind, because this is not magic, anything that can work for you can work against you. And in order for God to make a law that can work for you, there would have to be inherently in that a way for it to work against you, or else it would be non-existent. So God created laws, natural laws, physical laws, spiritual laws, emotional laws, and then He told us how to function in those laws. And faith is where we trust what He says. And this is not dead work. This is not trying to earn something from God, but this is really trusting God and complying with how God set everything up, how God set up the kingdom, how all this is supposed to work. So we want to realize that the sovereignty, when people today talk about sovereignty, they're not talking about the kind of sovereignty I just described where God set everything into place, and once it's in place, He will not violate His word. He will not change His mind about it. The sovereignty that most people talk about is a sovereignty that says everything that happens, God either made it happen or God let it happen. And we discovered last week that is absolutely not true. I'll tell you, people lose their children, and some religious nut says, well, see, God had a reason for that. God had a reason for that to happen. God had a reason for a tornado to hit your house. God had a reason for this disaster. No, He didn't. I'll tell you, He might turn the curse into the blessing. He might find some way to help you in the middle of something like that. But I got news for you. He did not have a reason for those things happening. This doctrine that's called sovereignty was introduced in the church by one of the early church leaders that was not even a Christian. It was actually brought into the church because it was a part of Greek fatalism. Fatalism, you know, is this kind of idea that whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and we have no control over it. There's nothing we can do about it. But I got news for you. In God's sovereignty, He gave us authority in planet Earth. And He cannot lie. He cannot go back on His word. And once He has established those laws, they are in place. And even God Himself must abide by the laws that He's established. Now, the law of authority must be known, observed, and implemented in order for us to participate in all that Jesus came to give us. That's why I view authority as the key that opens the door. You know, Jesus is the door. Faith is what moves me to take action, but authority is the action that I take where I enter into what God has given me. Now, I want you to understand that righteousness, and we mentioned this last week, when you look up the Hebrew for righteousness, you need to do research on the word, you'll find that the word has more to do with how we relate to others and treat others than it does some spiritual standing with God. So, this tells us, and we understand this, that everything that all the laws that God has ever given us, none of them made us more spiritual per se, if you know what I'm saying. But what they did is they made us more like God and made us relate to one another more like God would relate to one another and more like we should relate to one another. So when you start realizing that righteousness is more about how we relate to one another and that the law, which the law doesn't make you righteous, Jesus makes you righteous. Really, the Bible says that if you walk in the Spirit, you not only won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, but you will fulfill the law. The Bible tells us that if you walk in love, you will fulfill the law. Not because you're trying to earn something from God, but because love, when it's expressed, is always going to do things that the law says, like paying people the money that you owe them, like being kind, like observing people, not committing adultery. All of these things are about how we treat one another, and the new covenant, of course, they work from our heart. Now, sowing and reaping is a law, again, that people do not understand. When you talk to most people about sowing and reaping, in their minds, they're thinking, okay, I do something, I sow something, God causes me to reap something back. That is absolutely not how it works. As I said, God established laws. He put natural laws into effect. He put the laws of physics into effect. He put the laws of emotional laws and the relational laws, the spiritual laws. And once those laws are established, they work without God having to make a decision. Every grain of seed ever that you put into the ground, God does not decide if that individual seed is going to grow or not. It grows because you planted it in the ground. God is, you see, God has made these laws, and then he's told you what these laws are so that you can operate them for your good. Man, I'll tell you, that's a pretty phenomenal thing. Listen, Proverbs 22:8 says this. It says, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow. Now, this is not saying that God will make you sorry. It's saying that because this is the way you relate to others, you're going to have sorrow in your life. You're going to have sorrow in your family. You're going to have health issues or whatever. Job 4:8 says this. It says, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. This is talking about what happens to us whenever we treat people a certain way. You know, the Bible says if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. That's not God deciding how you'll die. It's really the world around you deciding how you'll die. Now, interestingly, you know, natural laws, when they're honored, display God's blessing because God was the one that set these laws into place. In Genesis 26:12, it says, when Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him because, and many people would look at that and say, okay, God chose to make his crops grow more than anybody else's. Maybe he just honored what God told him to do. Maybe he planted the way God showed him to plant. You see, because God made the laws that determine sowing and reaping, actually the Jews viewed the earth as giving back, as God himself giving back, because God was the one that made the laws. So you see, we have this concept. And science, 20th century science, has really perverted our whole concepts of God. You know, we think that because we can define some of these laws that God is out of the picture, God has nothing to do with it. Let me tell you something. God put all of the laws into place. When we operate in God's laws the way he said to, and good things happen, that is sowing and reaping. But in a certain sense, that is also participating in the blessings of God. This is where we go, you know what, I honored the way God does things, and it worked the way God said it was going to work. So in a certain sense, I can say, God did this for me. I want you to realize in the new covenant, so many things that happen in the world around us are generated out of our own heart. You know, it's really interesting in Mark 11, when it talks, Mark 11, 23 and 24, when it talks about, you know, moving the mountain, it just says, if you believe in your heart and say, if you say this mountain be removed, cast and see, you believe it in your heart and don't doubt, it says it will happen. It didn't say God would make it happen. It said it would happen because you believe it, and then you spoke it into existence. In other words, you had faith, and you exercise that faith through the exercise of authority. And see, we don't understand that. We got this idea that when we operate faith, that God jumps up and does something. No, God's given us all this capacity. God's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. God's given us authority on planet Earth. The question is, are we going to act on it because we believe in what God's accomplished? You know, 2 Corinthians 9:6. And see, some people can't get their heads around these kinds of verses. Paul was speaking to the Corinthian believers. He said, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his own heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, have an abundance for every good work. Now we read that and we say, okay, so God makes money come back to us. That's not what it said. First of all, it talks about your heart, having a heart, a generous heart. And then secondly, it said that what God would do would cause grace to abound. And we know that grace is God's ability or God's strength that works from our heart. So I want to tell you something.
One of the things I realize about prosperity is that prosperity is not about me praying and trying to get God to cause things to work out for me. Prosperity is when I have a heart that trusts how God created the world, how God created man, how God created me. When I operate in the truth of God because I believe it from my heart, I realize that grace is going to work in me and the ability to succeed is going to be there. You see, so in one sense, it's God doing things for you, but in the reality of it is God's not individually standing up and deciding to do things for you as much as God set the laws into place, told you how to operate them, and faith said, I believe God, and authority said, I speak it into existence, this has to happen in my life. You know, I got a great letter of testimony from somebody just the other day that they were talking about how that when they began to listen to some of my material and begin to understand the authority of the believer and begin to understand some of the scientific things that the Bible presents about our authority, and they said I got a total healing. They said I just did what Jim talked about. I started speaking to my body, and a healing came, and other healings are coming. You see, faith without works is dead. In other words, to believe but not to take action on that belief produces nothing. What is the action that I need to take? Well, the action that I need to take is authority. You see, I may believe that God is my protector, but if I'm not responding to God as He leads me, if I am not speaking over situations in my life and in the world around me, I can be believing but not taking corresponding actions. And faith will always cause you to take corresponding actions of authority and responsibility. And when I do, then I experience God's protection. I experience all of these things. But it's not because God suddenly stood up and decided He was going to do it. It's because I started participating in what God has already done through the Lord Jesus. You know, Galatians 6, verse 7 talks about the law of sowing and reaping in the new covenant. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You know, one of the greatest fears of the legalist is that we're going to do something and get by with it. That's the great fear of the legalist. You know, I was reading the book of Romans the other day. I was just thinking about it. You know, the legalist says, whatever you do, you need to get caught. You need to be humiliated. You need to pay for it. And it's really interesting that the Bible says just the opposite. The Bible says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute his iniquity. In other words, he doesn't end up having to pay the price for his iniquity. You see, Jesus delivered us from those things. But you know what? If you don't believe that, you will live in a state of condemnation when something goes wrong. And condemnation is the expectation of judgment, the expectation of punishment. And so many believers, because they think God causes bad things to happen, whenever they realize they've done something wrong, they live in an expectation of judgment and punishment. And then when that comes about in their life, they say, see, God punished me for what I did wrong. No. What happened was you let guilt and you let shame outweigh the Word of God in your own heart. And instead of number one, accepting the forgiveness that's been freely given in Jesus for whatever you've done, which should have been the first thing you've done. And then the second thing you should have done is spoke to your emotions and told them to change and spoke to your environment and tell it to change. Instead of doing that, you just sit there going, oh no, I've opened the door to the devil. Oh no, God's going to let this happen to me. Oh no, I deserve this. God's going to do this to teach me and to get even with me. Well, that's not what David said the blessings of the Lord are. You know, think about David. I mean, David murdered somebody. He caused hundreds, if not thousands, of soldiers to be killed, all to cover up his adultery. Man, you know, you would think if anybody in the world was not going to be blessed of God, it'd be David. But you know what? David faced his stuff. At some point, he faced it, he owned it, and he reconnected with God. He put his life back on track. And that's why David was able to say, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not his iniquity. See, We've got to realize that Jesus has paid for our sins. Jesus has already paid the full price. We don't have to pay the price. But what we want to do, the moment we realize that we are putting ourselves in a situation to reap the whirlwind, that we're going to repent, we're going to change our mind, we're going to stop this destructive behavior, and we're going to reconnect to God, and we're going to begin to relate to the world around us the way God has taught us to. So Paul says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. He who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting Zoe. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So it gets back to this thing about the heart. So I want you to realize, you can make the law of sowing and reaping work for you or against you. If you sow to the flesh, if you spend your life trying to gratify these five senses, you will of the flesh reap destruction. Not because God chooses that as your punishment. Not because God decides that he wants to do something against you or to teach you some lesson through pain. But because that is the crop that grows back into your life. You sow to the flesh, you reap to the flesh. But by the same token, you can sow to the Spirit. What does that mean? That means making yourself aware of, trusting in, and acting on what Jesus has accomplished for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. You see, when you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection in your heart and assume responsibility now for your life and take authority, in other words, you have authority, you have the right to pronounce the blessings of God in your life based on the finished work of Jesus. You have the right to send away the curses based on the finished work of Jesus. And if you do that, that's just like you walking up to the door, putting the key in the door, opening the door, and accessing that which has been freely given to you through the Lord Jesus. Be sure and stick around for our mentoring moment. I want to just share something really, really practical with you to help you make this work in your life. You know, the most important things that Jesus taught us about exercising authority before he left planet Earth was he said that we had the power to bind or loose. And that has nothing to do with the devil. Listen, binding and loosing is based on what has already been accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, instead of becoming a fatalistic victim and blaming the plight of my life on the sovereign decisions of God, I'm going to look at the sovereignty of God and say, God sovereignly chose that in Jesus all the promises would be mine. God sovereignly chose in Jesus that I am delivered from all the curses of the law. And we have to look at our own lives and we have to decide, are there curses in my life? Go back and read Deuteronomy 28. Just look up all the curses in the Bible. Is any of this happening in my life? And if it is, I'm going to take authority over it. I'm going to command these curses to depart from my life. Now, if these curses are the result of sowing and reaping, I'm going to repent. I want to change my mind about what I'm sowing in the lives of the people around me. And then I'm going to make sure I know what the promises are. And the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 1:20, every promise that God ever made to anyone is yes for us just because we're in Jesus. And that's when I'm going to begin to have fellowship with Jesus. You know what the word fellowship means, really? To share something in common. Well, what we share in common is the resurrection life of Jesus. And this means I'm going to connect to Jesus as raised from the dead. I'm going to connect to him at the right hand of God. I'm going to acknowledge that I am in him. And I'm going to pick the promises that will eradicate the curses that are trying to work in my life. I'm going to pick the promises that God has made to anybody else. And I'm going to bring them into my life. And I'm going to declare them to be the reality in my life. You see, if I don't send away the curse and if I don't put on the blessings, then I'm going to deceive myself into thinking either A, God's word doesn't work, or B, God is sovereignly choosing for me to go through whatever I'm going through. I want to tell you something. All the parables of the kingdom of God have one common thread, and that's personal responsibility. I tell you what, you choose personal responsibility, you exercise your authority, and you're going to live life like you have never imagined. Listen, be sure and get my series, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. Get this established in your heart. Make sure that you're completely sold out and committed to the fact that God's good and only good, and then use your authority.